If you will stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures, I will read to you Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? You may be seated. I'll begin with a little statement. The easiest method for the Jewish-led globalists to get what they openly say they want is to either conjure a crisis or exploit an existing crisis in order to, quote, unquote, erode sovereignty. The current pandemic fits the plan perfectly. But before they can try to annihilate sovereignty on the God of the Bible on a national level, they need to undermine the independence on an individual and church level first. This is what we see, what is happening in the states, particularly the blue states. Now we begin today's sermon. What great questions. These are some of the greatest questions that could be asked by man. What is your answer to these two questions that are asked by King David? What is the answer given by the God of David? The answer is given in the rest of the verses of this short psalm. Let's review the two questions again. Question number one, who shall abide in the Lord God's tabernacle? And two, who shall dwell in the holy hill? The word abide means to dwell there continually. It does not mean to visit or to be a guest or spend a short time in worshiping there. The ungodly might worship in the earthly tabernacle, but would they ever abide in the city where God lives forever? This is who the God of the Bible says will abide in the tabernacle of himself and will dwell in his holy hill. Number one, he that walks uprightly and works righteousness. Number two, he that speaks truth. Number three, he who doesn't backbite. Number four, he who doesn't do evil to his neighbor. Number five, he who doesn't take up a reproach against his neighbor. Number six, he who condemns vile people. Number seven, he who honors those who fear the Lord. Number eight, he who swears to his own hurt and changes not. Number nine, he who doesn't put his money to usury. Number ten, he who doesn't take reward against the innocent. Some of these points would eliminate the destiny of many Christians who claim to be Christians rather fast. And a few of these points would be a complete surprise to the same group because they are never mentioned in most churches. Why is that? It is because, now I'm giving a quote, quote, counseling has replaced preaching. Entertainment has replaced worship. Emotionalism has replaced conviction. Frivolous choruses have replaced sacred psalms and hymns. Religious platitudes have replaced sound doctrines. And social justice advocacy has replaced biblical theology. I continue with the quote. Traditional psalms present a more biblical view of God, and sacred doctrines, plus with beauty, convey the transforming gospel of Jesus the Anointed that fits the intellectual and emotional biorhythm of Western European man. The Bible teaches exclusiveness, that only those written in the book of life would enter, and all others were denied. End quote. It's by Charles A. Jennings, Truth in History. Amen. Jewish propaganda. I told you about this on November the 8th. Did you remember? Yeah. Ursula Haverbeck, a 92-year-old German citizen, was born on November the 8th, 1928. She was released from prison on November the 5th of this year. Well, she was a teenager during World War II, where she experienced near starvation, both during and after the war. You might remember the sermons that Jim gave us. She lived in North Rhine-Westphalia. Her life was preserved in Germany by cooking the small amount of vegetables her family could find, and then cooked them halfway, then finished them off by steaming them the remaining half. I don't know what that does, but that helped save her life. After the war, she fled safely in Sweden for 4 years, then to Scotland for 2 years, where she studied pedagogy. That's the theory and practice of learning, philosophy, and linguistics. About 70 years later, she faced the Inquisition once again on November 17, 2020, in Berlin, in her home country. So she got out of jail after serving 2.5 years, and then she had to go to trial again November 17th. Well, I said, good, I'll get the result of the trial. But I'll tell you what happened a little bit later. She is being charged under Germany's notorious, and I'll try to pronounce this halfway decent, Volksverhetzungslaw. I guess that's paragraph number 130. The hearing for the Holocaust denier and right-wing activist Ursula Haverbeck was held at the Tiergarten District Court in Berlin. The trial follows an interview she gave to right-winger video blogger Nikolai Nerling in March 2018, in which she allegedly downplayed the events of the Holocaust. Haverbeck and Nerling were both present in the courthouse, with Nerling being seen removed by judicial officers from the building after having an argument with the press officer before the beginning of the trial. Well, the case was moved to December the 4th. That was 2 days ago. Haverbeck, having been repeatedly convicted for demagoguery and sedition since 2004. This has been going on for 16 years. She is alleged to have trivialized the Holocaust by comparison of the Holocaust with the displacement of Germans from the eastern regions, which is practically unknown throughout the world. The widow from the North Rhine-Westphalia has been a repeat offender for years. Quote, she has 10 cases behind her, unquote, says her lawyer. She kept asserting that Auschwitz was not an extermination camp. There was no mass murder there. That's all she said. It wasn't a termination camp. I know that's true because I met a person from the camp. Remember that? He showed me his marks. I said, you worked for IG Farben Chemical Company. He said, then he admitted it. Yes, he did. In 2004, she was fined for sedition. This was followed by suspended sentences and, in recent years, imprisonment. She was only released at the beginning of November after serving a total of 2.5 years. The court said that her statements are likely to disturb the public peace. She is sentenced for a combination of about a year and a quarter in jail. An appeal is expected. So she could serve another over a year in jail. Got a picture of her. Champion of free speech, Ursula Haverbeck is free. And then I got a place where she grew up. There's Germany. Berlin, Hamburg. There's the Netherlands. There's the region where she grew up. And after the war, she said she fled to Sweden, which is up here, and then to Scotland over there. I wonder why she left. There were more Germans killed after the war than during the war. Well, what are the notorious, here we go again, Volksverhütungslaws, paragraph 130, that Ursula is being charged? I didn't know, so I looked them up. Here they are. It's called Incitement to Hatred, 1985, revised in 92, 2002, 2005, and 2015. Number one, whosoever in a manner capable of disturbing the public peace, number one, incites hatred against a national, racial, religious group, or a group defined by their ethnic origins against segments of the population or individuals because of their belonging to one of the aforementioned groups or segments of the population or cause for violent or arbitrary measures against them. Boy, sounds like a lawyer wrote this statement. Or then I skip down to number two, assaults the human dignity of others by insulting, maliciously maligning an aforementioned group, segments of the population or individuals because of their belonging to one of the aforementioned groups or segments of the population, or defaming segments of the population, shall be liable to imprisonment for 3 months to 5 years. Now go number three. Whosoever publicly or in a meeting approves of, denies, or downplays, that's what she was charged of, downplaying, an act committed under the rule of National Socialism of the kind indicated in Section 6, Number 1 of the Code of International Criminal Law in a manner capable of disturbing the public peace shall be liable to imprisonment at not exceeding 5 years or a fine. And number 4, whoever publicly or in a meeting disturbs the public peace in a manner which violates the dignity of the victims by approving of, glorifying, or justifying National Socialist tyranny and arbitrary rules, incurs a penalty of imprisonment for a term not exceeding 3 years or a fine. That's what she's charged with. Now I'm going to talk about America's media. This is a very interesting case and should be a warning of what is coming to America. But how many Americans do you think have ever heard of the crime of Ursula? How many Americans have ever heard of Ursula? Why is that? The national media is controlled by the same people who control the courts of both countries. In fact, they control the governments of both countries, too. The information in America about this atrocious story is missing. I haven't seen anything about it on television, on the radio, in the newspapers, or magazines. Have you? I found a little bit of information on the internet, but I had to sign up to receive the report that I gave above. What is going on? This should be a big story. What did this quote-unquote Nazi grandma, that's what they call her, the Nazi grandma, do to deserve the time that she spent in jail? Did she murder anyone? Did she steal anything? No. She said that Auschwitz was nothing more than a labor camp, not an extermination camp. And I agree. This is considered serious Holocaust denial under German law based on the constitution that was given to the German people, never voted on, by the Allied Control Council after the war. She was on trial several years ago for saying on television that, quote, the Holocaust was the biggest and longest lasting lie in history, unquote. Can you imagine someone on TV saying that? This lady is feisty. The Holocaust was the biggest and longest lasting lie in history. She goes to jail for saying that statement. Well, is this a true statement or is it a false statement? Why did this elderly German woman go to jail for 2.5 years and may be going once again? Because she believes the Holocaust was not as big a story as the many post-war Germans being killed and expelled. I guess it's an important point to her, as she was one of the multi-millions of Germans who were driven off their farms and were expelled. Was Auschwitz nothing more than a labor camp? Was it not an extermination camp? Was there not 6 million Jews gassed there? Was there not 1.1 million Jews gassed there? Was there anyone who was gassed there? If it was an extermination camp, why are there so many survivors? Wait a minute, I'm going to say it again. If it was an extermination camp, why are there so many survivors? Does it make any difference did Ursula condemn vile people? Or did she anger those who have no fear of the Lord God? Or did she take a reward against the innocent? Are the Christian Germans guilty of murdering 6 million Jews? Or did the Jewish authorities frame the Christian Germans? If you agree with the Jewish authorities who deny the God of the Bible, would that disqualify you from dwelling in the holy city? Think about this last sentence for a while. How long does it take to cremate a person? From the time that the millions of Jews went into the shower, the gas came out of the shower head, and the bodies died after breathing in the gas. The guards came in with gas masks, and I asked a question, how long would it take for the gas to be gone from the shower room? How'd they get the gas out of there? Opens the doors, it goes, kills everything. And then carried them out. They were cremated with no visible ashes. How long would it take to murder 1 million Jews in each of the 6 concentration camps? How high would the pile of cremated ashes of 1 million cremated bodies be? It takes about 1.5 to 3 hours to cremate a body, a couple of hours for it to cool down the ash, and a couple of hours of going to the shower, taking the fake poisonous shower and being carried out dead. The total time would be about 6 hours. For 1 million individuals, that would come to 6 million hours for 1 million of them to be killed and then be cremated. Now, that would take about 72 years. It was done 24/7 without any breaks in time. And there was never a big pile of cremated ashes. The Holocaust was the biggest and longest lasting lie in history. Is she telling the truth or is she lying? That is the question. What is our position? Now, frequent National Front candidate Richard Edmunds writes, quote, today, I have received a letter from the brave campaigner from Truth and History, Ursula Haverback. He received a letter from her. Ursula expresses her astonishment and thanks for the amazing number of letters and cards of support that she receives from Britain and from France and indeed from the whole world. In her letter to me, Ursula H., which is Haverback, singles out her special thanks to Michelle R. and to Peter R. He probably doesn't write the last name because of fear of retribution. Let me repeat here. But letters and cards of support are a godsend to every brave and honorable patriot locked up in a narrow prison cell, mixed in together with antisocial types and criminals, and isolated from the world and friendly faces. That's prison. And in this nightmare modern world, with many of the prisoners would be third world criminals with third world prisoner habits, personal habits, unquote. Let me ask this question. Are the letters sent to Ursula a godsend? Ursula was a young teenager during the Second World War. Look at what Michael Walsh of the Europe Renaissance wrote about her recent release from jail. Quote, "It is with delight that we learn that Frau Ursula Haverback, persecuted and imprisoned since 2004, jailed since 2018, has been released from her German jail. Dubbed the Nazi grandma by toxic, corporate-owned, state-servient mainstream media. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The venerated denizen of truth over lies was in fact harassed because she determined to put an end to extortion, posturing as reparations for death that have consistently shown to be false. In effect, Ursula Haverback was persecuted and imprisoned for claiming that you cannot convict a nation or its people for murder without showing genuine evidence of the victim. Well, Ursula is not a nobody anymore, is she? In fact, it is the esteemed heroine's triumph. Her persecution and her imprisonment have drawn international attention to crimes of the German judiciary and the foulest media that has ever blemished the fair face of freedom, unquote. That's something compared to ours. Got a picture of Ursula. There she is. Just like everything about the Holocaust, non-historic narrative, trying to get an accurate picture of the persecution of Ursula Haverback is made very difficult by the blank blank. Does anybody know what the blank blank is? Mainstream media. You're absolutely correct. In the United States, we should know the answer quite readily. For do the people who voted for Joe Biden, especially the ones who voted early, know of his past criminal activities, which benefited his family to the tune of over $300 million? Do they know that he and his son, his brother, his wife, have been under investigation for money laundering for over a year by the FBI? How do you think a man who at one time was a regular middle-class guy could have bought five mansions costing multi-million dollars apiece on a senator's salary? Do they know that he has had two brain surgeries? And he is the guy who's running on integrity? Now, the answer to the question, just like everything about the Holocaust non-historical narrative, trying to get an accurate picture of the persecution of Ursula Haverback is made very difficult by the mainstream media. The Jewish accusation that the Germans allegedly murdered 6 million Jews during a brief 2.5 year period in World War II is paramount to blood libel. And these false accusations have never been allowed to be publicly debated or refuted by the accused Germans. All Christians should be aware that Satan is the false accuser. Ursula Herrebeck has decided to stand against the false charges that have been made against her people, the Germans. She is defending the Christian German people against this false blood libel made by the enemy, that is, the descendants of the murderers of Jesus the Christ. The charges are made by the Jews who universally deny the deity of Jesus the Christ. The Jews have literally made it an imprisonable offense to challenge any aspect of the spurious claims of the genocide. So much so that even if you're telling the truth, you will still go to prison. What? If you tell the truth, you go to prison. You can watch the offensive and illegal interview, and I give it to you right there. You can get it off our website. Type that in. I saw it. I saw the interview that she gave. The interview with Ursula, which landed her in prison. In that interview, she proved every single fact that she brought up with documented proof that would indeed stand up in a credible court and would be accepted by any halfway decent historian of World War II. You can watch it and make your own decision. The Orwellian nightmare that Haberbeck is living is proof that the Jews themselves are responsible for anti-Jewishism, as this kind of ruthless form of oppression will always create resentment against the Jews. This resentment may in some cases boil over into violence, which despite all their protestations, they welcome it as a bona fide facie evidence that even more draconian repression and punishment is necessary to silence their anti-Jewish critics. It is anti-Jewish behavior that they are accusing the Christians of Germany of doing. That is, they say the Germans committed genocide against the Jews, while the truth is just the opposite. The Jews committed genocide against the Germans. They were responsible for the murder of more Germans after the peace treaty was signed than were killed in the war. Apparently, downplay is doublespeak for revisionism. Nowhere does Haberbeck deny that crimes or atrocities were committed against Jews and others. Nor does she refuse to accept that they were rounded up or persecuted. Rather, she speaks mostly that Auschwitz was a labor camp, not an extermination camp. No one was gassed in Auschwitz. There were not 6 million Jews killed. The lie about Auschwitz and other concentration camps was to keep hidden the starvation and bombing of the German people, which was devastating. Now, she lived through it. She lived through that mostly unknown story and was expelled to other countries. Well, she'll probably appeal the case. She'll probably be 95 times she goes to jail for another year and a quarter. Now, president-elect by fraud. We got a picture here. Now, who is that? Is that president-elect who never ran for president? He stayed in his basement and got more votes than any president of the United States. Or, Benjamin. Thank you. And oh, there's that flag right there in the middle. Oh, that bad flag. This is March 9th, 2016. He was then vice president. And they're shown shaking hands. Is that good or bad? Joe Biden, former vice president and possible future president of the United States Corporation, is pro-Israel. His vice president is an unpopular, very, very, very liberal senator whose husband is unknown to the masses. Anybody know his husband? Oh, nobody knows who her husband is. Oh. Very few know that he is a Jewish, mega wealthy, very, very wealthy, lobbyist and litigator who made his fortune promoting and defending the socialist Marxist agenda within the entertainment and media industries, which are dominated by Zionists. Doug Imhoff, husband of the vice president, future vice president, if Trump fails. His name is Doug Imhoff. Her name is Kamala Harris. I'd say right, Kamala Harris, not Kamala Imhoff. Strange marriage, isn't it? I thought when a woman got married, took the name of her husband. And here is Imhoff's children from the first marriage. Girl and a boy. Kamala is Doug's second wife. He is divorced. He and his first wife had two children together. Kamala was a three-year mistress with Willie Brown, 20 years her elder, mayor of San Francisco, who was married at the time. In other words, she slept with a married man for 3 years. I never heard of it being brought up in the mainstream press. Is there supposed to be some moral behavior of the leaders? Here's another quote. Quote, here is the big disconnect among evangelical Christians and conservatives. They don't understand that one, socialism, two, Marxism, three, communism, and four, Zionism, are one and the same. Socialism, Marxism, communism, Zionism, all the same. Karl Marx was a Zionist, Jewish. Joseph Stalin was a Zionist. Vladimir Lenin was a Zionist. The communist revolution in Russia was a Zionist-led revolution. And the push for Marxism in America today is being facilitated by powerful Zionist flatterers such as Kamala Harris's husband, Douglas Imhoff. As for Donald Trump, he did more to promote Zionism than any other president in United States history. Behind the scenes, Trump's Zionist daughter, Ivanka, and Zionist son-in-law, Jared Kushner, constantly pushed the Zionist agenda in Trump's foreign and domestic policies, unquote. It's from Chuck Baldwin. Now, the television commercial. I get so tired of seeing this commercial, I could scream. I keep seeing this commercial on television. There's an ad for the International Fellowship of Christian Jews. Do you see this commercial? You know what I'm talking about. Good. It is about helping with your donation because of taking care of, and I got this off the commercial, quote, tens of thousands, unquote, tens of thousands of survivors of the Holocaust. Wait a minute. How many survivors do you think are left of the Holocaust today? The concentration or extermination camps ended 75 years ago. Most of them are said to have been gassed to death. It's an extermination camp, don't you remember? A killing camp. A killing camp with a lot of survivors. If they are alive, they would be about as old as German Ursula Haverbeck, who was imprisoned over the Volksverzugslagers. If a person was in the concentration camp, was 30 years old in 1945, the year the peace treaty was signed, they'd be 105 years old today. I don't think there is anyone who was over 30 years old when the war ended that needs financial help, even if they are alive. They're all dead, except maybe for less than a dozen. If a person was 20 years old in 1945, they'd be 95 years old today. I don't think there's more than a handful of these survivors alive today, if any. They would be the age of Ursula Haverbeck. She is 92 years old. If the person was 10 years old in 1945, they'd be 85 years old today. But how many 10-year-olds do you think were in the concentration or extermination camps, I'm sorry, in 1945? How many do you think survived the camps? How many do you think are alive today? How many do you think are living in total poverty in the former Soviet Union? That's where they have these people, in the former Soviet Union. But if you believe what these deniers of the deity of Jesus the Christ are saying, and you have the resources, you can donate your money to the International Fellowship of Christian Jews and be fleeced. It is another lie that is told by the premier liars, promoted by the Judeo-Christian 700 Club to its followers. Ursula Haverbeck became 92 years old on November 8th of this year. We just do a little subtraction, you'll find she was 17 years old. Is Ursula in destitute condition today? Like the survivors of the Holocaust are shown on the TV ads. These people on the ads are the most destitute people I've ever seen. Oh, they're horrible. They can hardly move. And they get their little Hanukkah thing with it. So you $25, they get a Hanukkah thing. First time they can celebrate Hanukkah because of the communist in all these years. No, she isn't. She is an excellent speaker. And if you get that website, you'll hear her talk. And seems to have all her mental and physical abilities functioning very well. She is in a lot better shape than the media's choice for the next possible president of the United States. All I can say is, The media is powerful. The communists have controlled the media in the United States since a decade after the war between the states. How can you explain the situation the president-elect of the United States has been shown to have been involved, even being on tape, with extortion money from several nations and no national media coverage was given? Why is there no media on the cheating in several states that's being challenged by the current president? Pennsylvania is the worst. The governor and his allies changed the laws that were set by the state legislature, which is unconstitutional. For example, they allowed no signature requirements, violation of deadlines, early voting, using faulty computer programs, and a late counting on all mail-in ballots. There's no proof at all. So we have Germany's media and the United States media being in cahoots. There were riots in Seattle, Portland, New York City, Chicago, Washington, D.C., etc., in the United States over the summer due to the supposed systemic racism of the police force against unarmed black citizens. Do you remember those? Oh, my goodness. It has been proven to be a staged event. Just the stage is the war between the states. There were only 9 unarmed black individuals, doesn't mean they were not innocent or dangerous, they were just unarmed, who were killed by the police in the year 2019. 9. And some of them are black policemen that shot them. There are about 41 million black people in the United States. The 9 blacks out of 41 million is about 0.00022% of the black individuals who were unarmed, who were killed by the police. That is why America was experiencing the burning of their Democratic Party-run cities this summer. In fact, there were 18.5 times as many policemen and policewomen killed by blacks instead of the other way around. 93% of blacks that are killed by other blacks. Black Lives Matter is the greatest lie that is being told and believed in the United States. Sounds like what Ursula said. The Holocaust was the biggest and longest lasting lie in history in Germany and other nations. Now we have the spiritual side. Here is something, but there is something else that happened that very few people were aware of until recently. And I came across this thing. There was an individual that had run for a congressional seat in California on a very conservative platform. He lost. But that's not the end of the story. Then the coronavirus hit. He went to the cities that experienced rioting and brought his missionary efforts there. He once was a missionary to third world countries, but that was stopped by the virus from China. But then he held religious concerts that were a response to racial justice and racial reconciliation and encouraged his audience to keep Jesus at the foremost in their conversations. He held church protest services because many of the churches were closed by the government. So he goes to those cities and holds rock concert, hymn concerts, and preaches about Jesus. What? What did I just say? Who is this long hair singer? Who's this right here? Oh, that's President Trump. Someone has his hand on the president's arm. Oh, there he is, the long-haired singer. He's there meeting with President Trump. He's meeting with a group of people with President Trump exactly 1 year ago today, December 6, 2019. Today, December 6, 2020, exactly a year ago. He met with President Trump. Who are all these people with him? Look on this side of President Trump. Did somebody see someone? Paul White. Oh, Paula White. Let's see. Oh, there she is. Paula White. Oh, my goodness. The infamous, I call her the infamous Pentecostal preacher, a woman preacher, who was at the head of the religious organizations in the Trump administration, who prayed at his inauguration. But who is this group? I'm down here. But who is this group that is attending the White House meeting? It is Bethel Church of Redding, California. I guess it's Redding, R-E-D-D-I-N-G. The church publishes a catalog of popular Christian artists, many of whom are featured at the faith briefing with President Trump at the meeting. That's the picture I showed you. One of their many artists is Sean Foyt. Did I say it? Foyt. The long-haired blonde missionary who is seen touching the president on the arm. The only person touching him. Now, Sean's Facebook presents the following information. Sean Foyt is a husband, father, missionary, musician, artist speaker, author, activist, and founder of multiple worldwide movements, unquote. According to his website, one of those worldwide movements is Hold the Line, which is, quote, a practical political activist movement speaking to rally the global church, to engage in their civic duty, to vote and stand up for causes of righteous and justice in the governmental area, unquote. Foyt has taken advantage of the unrest in the nation and the oppression of the churches by holding concerts in the rioted cities across the nation. Their concerts are called Let Us Worship. And that's the name of my sermon, Let Us Worship. It is very similar. Anybody remember Amy Semple McPherson? I gave a sermon on her one time. Who was a founder of the Four Square Church. And was a relentless and unashamed self-promoter. Now, there's a Four Square Church in Hamilton, Ohio, right downtown Hamilton. I always wondered, what church was that? I found out it was started by Amy Semple McPherson. She was a classic revivalist who, while she predated the film world, she would see no camera that would be too far and too outrageous for her to try and occupy in order to talk to people about Jesus. I think there's a kind of traditional revivalist bent to fence work that there's no such thing as bad publicity. Now, there it is. Let Us Worship. This is from his website. You can go look at it. Let Us Worship. Gathering in Washington, D.C. by holding the largest prayer meeting in front of the Supreme Court since Roe versus Wade. Thousands then gathered at the Lincoln Memorial and in front of the White House to pray for healing and unity in our nation. What Biden said, let's unite. Oh, he says, let's unite. It's on his website now. We, and this is his underline, and this is black thing, we aren't stopping the movement of revival because God is always moving in our midst and stirring his church to action. Oh, join our movement by donating today. $25, you click that button. $50, $100, $250, $500. Or 1,000. And make this a monthly recurring donation. You click that button. Question. Is God always moving in the midst of the rock and roll? That's what it is. Rock and roll music services that they provide. I got a question. Has entertainment replaced worship? Why should anyone donate to this group? But that's not all. Then I received the following email Wednesday night, which was November the 11th, after I got home from work. It was entitled, Fighting the Double Standard. When I clicked on it, I was shaken by the initial email message. Here is what I saw. Oh, there it is again. And then it said, this past week, I was interviewed by the 700 Club. That's the same so-called Christian organization that went along with the Fellowship of Christian and Jews ad about old Jewish survivors of the Holocaust who are in dire poverty. To discuss the fire in our nation's heart to gather together and worship the Lord. This is from his email. I have taken a lot of flack for leading worship services across the country, But as I read the Bible, it is clear nothing significant ever happens without resistance and controversy. We are still fighting the media's double standard that attacks Christians for gathering together to worship while praising violent protesters and liberals gathering to celebrate the election results. Then it says, watch the video here. Well, I clicked that button. I'll tell you what it said in a little bit. Preaching the gospel in the middle of all of the division taking place right now is the only way to heal our nation. We hope you join with us. Donate. God bless. Sean Fuke. What's his name?
Fuke.
Okay. Sean Fuke is the leader of Let Us Worship concert meetings. When I pressed the watch the video here button, which was up there, so I pushed that button. So they had a 700 club interview, and then this picture. Now where is it? There he is right there. It's multiracial. Is Sean doing the only thing that will heal our nation? Is he causing God's covenant people, Israel, to humble themselves? Is he causing God's covenant people to pray? Well, I think he may have. Is he causing God's covenant people to seek God's face? Nope. Is he causing God's covenant people to turn from their wicked ways? Nope. Is he causing God's covenant people to sin? Is he causing God's covenant people to sin by singing frivolous rock and roll courses? Yes, he is. He has individuals of all races in his rock and roll services. He is entertaining them. And then he had this thing again, $25, $50, $100, now it's up to $2,000. And you can make this a monthly reoccurring donation. Then I got another email from the organization last Tuesday, December the 1st. And ask for money on the day of giving. My conclusion. There is Ursula Haverbeck, a 92-year-old German resident, who has been jailed for saying that Auschwitz was not an extermination camp. I hope that doesn't cause a riot in the community. We have the supposed 90-plus-year-old Jewish Holocaust survivors who are very destitute, living in the former Soviet Union, who are being rescued from starvation and keeping the Jewish Hanukkah by donations from Judeo-Christians and members of the 700 Club. And we have a rising star of the missionary front, Sean Fuchs, who has appeared on Fox News and many media publications and shows, who is conducting rock concerts for Jesus. Which one of these three is the most Christian of the group? It's always the one the media treats the worst. To conclude, look at a paragraph that Chuck Baldwin wrote and ask yourself, is he correct? Quote, ask yourself, what has 100 years of our pastors and churches preaching the false doctrines of Christian Zionism, what an oxymoron, done for America? Do you think there is a connection between the increase of this false teaching and a decrease of true Christianity in the world? I do, unquote. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.